Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Imagine a future where, instead of waiting for a patient to show really clear signs of organ rejection after a life-saving transplant or, you know, having to go through an invasive biopsy, doctors could just take a simple blood sample.
And know right away.
Yeah, and know with just astonishing precision if there's trouble brewing and exactly where it's brewing. We're talking about a diagnostic breakthrough that could, well, essentially give us a molecular microscope right into the body.
Spotting distress in specific cells.
Exactly. In specific cells of a transplanted organ, sometimes weeks before a patient even feels sick.
It's really about moving from reactive medicine to something truly predictive.
Yeah.
And personalized care, too.
Right.
Because current methods, they often tell us that there's a problem, but maybe not what kind of cells are struggling or, you know, the why behind it.
It's a bit of a black box sometimes.
Kind of, yeah. This new approach, though, it's like having this super sensitive cellular GPS. It points to the precise source of an injury, all from just a few drops of blood. It's a profound shift.
A profound shift indeed.
Yeah.
So what exactly happens when a transplanted organ starts to face challenges? And how can these tiny fragments of DNA just floating around in our bloodstream become such powerful early warning signals? Let's dive deep into this fascinating molecular detective story. Now, before we unpack the really incredible science behind all this, we do want to take a moment to shine a light on the brilliant minds who push this frontier forward.
Yeah, definitely.
This groundbreaking work comes from the collaborative teams at Georgetown University's Department of Oncology, the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center, and the MedStar Georgetown Transplant Institute.
Mm-hmm. They've truly advanced our understanding of how we can use these circulating cell-free DNA methylation patterns.
Right, the methylation patterns.
Yeah, to indicate the cellular sources of injury to a transplanted organ, specifically looking at liver transplants here. The paper, it's aptly titled, Circulating Cell-Free DNA Methylation Patterns Indicate Cellular Sources of Allograft Injury After Liver Transplant. It was authored by Megan E. McNamara and her colleagues, and it was accepted for publication in Nature Communications back on May 22, 2025.
So let's set the stage a bit. Why is this research so crucial? Well, liver transplant is an absolute lifeline for patients with end-stage liver disease.
Absolutely life-saving.
It really is. It's actually the second most common solid organ transplant worldwide, you know, right after kidney transplants.
Right.
But even though survival rates have gotten dramatically better over the years, that period right after surgery, particularly the first month, it's still a really critical window. Complications are, well, surprisingly common.
That's right. And those early complications, unfortunately, they can significantly reduce the lifespan of the transplanted organ itself, the allograft, as we call it.
The allograft, yeah.
And they also impact the recipient's overall long-term survival. Now, the challenge has always been that our sort of traditional non-invasive ways to spot these injuries, they have limitations.
Okay.
They often can't pinpoint the exact reason an injury is happening or which specific cell types within that organ are being affected. It's a bit like, you know, knowing your car is making a weird noise.
Yeah.
But you don't know if it's the engine or the transmission or maybe just a loose fan belt.
You just know something's wrong.
Exactly. You lack that specificity.
And without that precise cellular insight, the gold standard for confirming a diagnosis or even just monitoring how treatment is working, it still remains a tissue biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an invasive procedure. Doctors have to physically remove a small piece of the liver for examination. And as you can imagine, that carries risks, infection, bleeding. It's uncomfortable for the patient.
And you can only do it so many times.
Right.
So this is precisely where cell-free DNA or cfDNA enters the picture.
Yeah.
It's a potential game changer.
Okay, cfDNA.
These are just minute fragments of DNA that get shed into the bloodstream when cells die, right? Throughout the body, whether it's natural turnover or injury or disease.
From anywhere in the body.
Pretty much anywhere, yeah. And by analyzing these tiny fragments from just a simple blood draw, we get this completely non-invasive way to monitor changes, not just in the transplanted organ, but potentially even in other host tissues, and at a remarkably detailed cellular level.
Now, we've actually talked about donor-derived cfDNA, dd-cfDNA before on the show.
We have, yeah.
That method identifies DNA from the donor organ by looking for unique genetic differences between the donor and the recipient. like a genetic barcode, sort of.
Exactly, using SNPs usually.
But what really elevates this new research, what makes it so interesting, is that it moves beyond just those genetic differences. It focuses on these epigenetic modifications.
Epigenetic.
Specifically, DNA methylation patterns. And that's incredibly powerful because it works independently of the genotype.
You've hit on a really critical distinction there. Think of DNA methylation as like a stable, unique signature, maybe a fingerprint, right on the DNA itself.
Okay, a fingerprint.
Yeah. These patterns are highly specific to different cell types, and they're largely conserved across individuals. So even if the donor and recipient are genetically very similar, maybe even related,
right,
or if a patient has received, say, a multi-organ transplant from different donors, these methylation patterns can still tell us the precise cell type that the cfDNA came from.
Wow.
This level of specificity is absolutely crucial for detecting organ-specific injury, especially in these really complex clinical scenarios. It's like knowing not just who left the fingerprint, but maybe what their job is based on the specific wear patterns on their hand. That makes sense.
That cellular fingerprint analogy really helps clarify. Okay, so let's get into the weeds a bit. How did these researchers actually achieve such detailed cellular insights from just a blood sample? This sounds like some serious molecular detective work.
It truly is. Their journey began with something relatively straightforward, collecting serial blood samples from 44 liver transplant patients.
Okay, 44 patients.
Yeah. They took samples both before the transplant to get a baseline, and then at various crucial time points after the procedure.
To track changes.
Exactly. From these samples, they meticulously isolated and then analyzed the cfDNA.
And the real innovative leap here, the sort of heart of their method, was how they went about identifying those cellular origins, right? That's where the molecular detective part really shines.
Absolutely. They used a sophisticated technique called sequence-based methylation analysis of the cfDNA fragments. But here's the truly innovative bit. They mapped these fragments to an enormously expanded atlas of cell-type-specific DNA methylation patterns.
An atlas?
Yeah, picture this atlas like an incredibly comprehensive reference library. It's built from over 476 known methylomes.
Wow, 476?
Yeah, basically complete methylation maps from purified cells representing this huge array of human cell types. And what's particularly clever is they didn't just stop at general cell types.
They went deeper.
They did. They specifically expanded this atlas to include these non-parenchymal liver cell types that are absolutely critical for understanding injury and repair. Things like hepatic stellate cells, endothelial cells, liver-resident immune cells, and those biliary epithelial cells.
So really specialized liver cells.
Exactly. It's like creating a specialized dictionary just for the liver, mapping out every single cell's unique signature.
So it's not just a general liver cell signal coming through. They can actually distinguish between, say, a damaged hepatocyte versus maybe a struggling biliary epithelial cell within the liver itself. That kind of granular detail really elevates this approach.
Precisely. And to extract the maximum information from those tiny bits of DNA, they perform something called hybridization capture sequencing on the bisulfite-treated cfDNA.
Okay, that sounds technical. Bisulfite treatment.
Yeah, bisulfite treatment is this clever chemical trick. It modifies the DNA in a way that basically reveals the methylation patterns. It's like staining a hidden code on the DNA.
Okay.
Then the hybridization capture part, it acts like a highly targeted fishing net. It enriches for the specific regions they're interested in, maximizing the sequencing depth, making sure they get the most data possible from those precious cfDNA fragments.
Got it. So after all that sophisticated lab work, they've got this huge amount of data. How did they actually pull out those specific cellular contributions, making sense of it all?
Right. That's where the computational power comes in. They applied a really cutting-edge fragment-level deconvolution algorithm.
Deconvolution.
Yeah. This sophisticated computational method isn't just looking at, you know, the presence of DNA. It's more like a highly sensitive statistical detective. It estimates the relative contributions of cfDNA from different cell types by analyzing their unique methylation patterns. And it does this at the level of individual DNA fragments.
Individual fragments, well.
Yeah. So it can truly disentangle the mixed signals you get in a blood sample and tell you, for example, what percentage of the cfDNA came from hepatocytes versus endothelial cells, even when they're all just mixed together in the blood.
So the overall picture they get isn't just there's damage. It's more like there's damage, and it primarily involves these specific liver cells, or maybe even surprisingly, cells from other organs entirely. That's a real diagnostic upgrade.
Indeed. And one of their immediate findings, which wasn't entirely unexpected, was a significant five-fold increase in the overall cfDNA concentration right after the transplant. This was seen across all patients.
That's old, okay.
Yeah, but this isn't necessarily alarming in itself. It simply reflects the increased cell turnover that naturally happens as a direct result of a major surgical procedure. It's just the body responding to the trauma of surgery.
Makes sense. And were specific liver cells primarily contributing to that initial surge, or was it just a general increase across the board?
No, it was quite specific, actually. Mm-hmm. The deconvolution analysis, using that detailed atlas we talked about, showed that particular liver cell types, specifically hepatocytes, hepatic stellate cells, and endothelial cells, contributed most significantly to this postoperative increase. And in fact, they found a direct correlation. Mm. The concentration of hepatocyte cfDNA directly matched the levels of elevated AST and ALT liver enzymes.
Ah, the standard liver function tests.
Exactly. The standard but often less specific indicators of liver damage used in clinical practice. So this really helped validate their approach, showing their cfDNA signals align nicely with established markers.
Now here's where it gets really interesting, I think, and clinically super impactful. What did they discover about sustained injury, the kind that indicates a more serious, ongoing problem?
This is truly a crucial takeaway from the study. They observed that the multi-tissue cellular damage seen immediately post-transplant, that initial surge, it actually recovered in patients who did not develop any significant allograft injury within that first week.
So the body was healing itself.
Exactly. So just the natural healing process was kicking in. However, for those patients who did go on to develop allograft injury, meaning actual damage to the transplanted liver, There was a sustained elevation of both hepatocyte and biliary epithelial cfDNA.
Sustained, okay.
Yeah, it persisted beyond that initial recovery phase, right through the first month after the transplant. This sustained elevation, distinct from that immediate post-op surge, was a powerful, persistent indicator of early onset allograft injury.
That's a powerful predictive signal, definitely. And this is the part that could really change the game for managing these patients. Did this sustained cfDNA signal show up before a standard diagnosis could even be made?
Yes, remarkably so. Elevated liver epithelial cfDNA was detected in all the patients who went on to experience allograft injury, all of them. In some really compelling cases, this elevated signal was detected a median of 63 days. That's more than 2 months ahead of the time of the tissue biopsy-based diagnosis.
63 days.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine what that means for a patient. 2 months of potentially undetected ongoing injury avoided. This isn't just about spotting trouble. It's about potentially altering the entire course of a patient's post-transplant journey.
Preventing irreversible damage, maybe?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Preventing irreversible damage, maybe even reducing the need for retransplantation down the line. It's a fundamental shift in the timeline of intervention.
And did the cfDNA composition, you know, which specific cell types were elevated, did that help differentiate between different causes of injury? Because that level of specificity is so critical for choosing the right treatment.
It absolutely did.
Yeah.
That's really the beauty of this methylation-based method, its specificity. The cfDNA composition was significantly different at the time of the biopsy-proven diagnosis, allowing them to clearly distinguish between hepatocellular injury, biliary injury, and even mixed forms of allograft injury.
So they could tell the difference?
Yes. For instance, when the injury was primarily hepatocellular, they saw a clear spike in hepatocyte cfDNA. Conversely, if the main problem was in the bile ducts, the biliary system, then it was the biliary cfDNA that was predominantly increased. This level of granular information means clinicians aren't just reacting to a vague liver problem. They can understand the type of cellular insult happening, which can then guide more precise, more effective early treatments.
I'm also seeing a truly surprising and quite broad finding about other organs, not just the liver. What did the study reveal there?
Yeah, this was an unexpected and I think really important systemic insight. Beyond just the transplanted liver, the study revealed that the extensive transplant procedure itself actually impacts other organs in the recipient too.
Like what?
Well, they observed a significant fourfold increase in neuron-derived cfDNA.
Neuron-derived from brain cells.
Yeah, suggesting some level of neuronal cell death occurring during the procedure. Now, this could be linked to factors like general anesthesia, or maybe even pre-existing conditions the patient had.
Interesting.
They also saw increases in cfDNA coming from cardiomyocytes, those are heart muscle cells, and gastric epithelial cells, the cells lining the stomach.
So a systemic effect.
Exactly. It highlights the systemic physiological impact of such a major surgery. And importantly, it suggests the potential for simultaneous monitoring of other common post-transplant complications, like, say, acute kidney injury or infections, all from the very same blood sample. It paints a much more holistic picture of the patient's overall health right after the operation.
So if we pull all this together, what does it truly mean for patient care? I mean, the ability to detect specific cellular damage from a simple blood test, potentially weeks or months before a biopsy is even considered, that sounds like a complete paradigm shift for transplant medicine.
It absolutely is. I think this research powerfully demonstrates that these circulating cell-free DNA methylation patterns can provide a non-invasive and incredibly highly specific method for monitoring allograft injury after liver transplant.
Non-invasive and specific.
Right. And this has the profound potential to significantly reduce the need for those invasive tissue biopsies, which, as we discussed, carry inherent risks for patients and are certainly uncomfortable. It's just a huge win for patient safety and comfort right there.
And the practical implications for getting an earlier diagnosis and starting treatment sooner, that's immense, isn't it?
Precisely. By differentiating between, say, hepatocellular injury versus biliary injury, two distinct problems that often need different management strategies, clinicians could initiate much more targeted treatments much, much earlier.
Targeting the right problem.
Exactly. Biliary complications, for example, they're a major source of morbidity and mortality after transplant, and they're notoriously tricky to diagnose conventionally. This cfDNA approach offers a potentially more accurate, more timely, and certainly less burdensome way to detect them, possibly preventing irreversible damage and really improving patient outcomes.
And it's not just limited to liver transplants or even just spotting organ injury, right? These findings seem to hint at even broader applications for this kind of technology.
Exactly right. The fact that they could detect cfDNA from other organs, kidneys, heart, even neurons, all from the same blood sample, well, that just opens up a world of possibilities.
Like a multi-organ checkup.
Sort of, yeah. This approach could allow for simultaneous multi-system monitoring of common post-transplant complications. Imagine being able to proactively detect early signs of acute kidney injury, or maybe even subtle neurological changes, right alongside monitoring the liver's health. It gives you a truly holistic view of the patient's physiological response to the transplant and could guide really comprehensive care. It definitely points towards a future of more proactive rather than reactive health management for these patients.
This research is clearly a powerful proof of concept. Were there any limitations they noted or maybe exciting areas for future exploration? What's next on the scientific frontier?
Well, there are always fascinating challenges to tackle, and they often pave the way for even more robust applications down the road. For instance, while their methylation analysis was incredibly comprehensive, they did note they couldn't yet identify enough specific DNA methylation blocks to really profile liver-resident immune cell turnover with sufficient precision.
The immune cells.
Yeah.
Key players in rejection.
Absolutely crucial players. So this points to a clear need for even more detailed reference data for all the diverse immune cell types. That's an area for growth. Also, a practical point. While their method for cfDNA extraction from serum worked well for this particular study, for future large-scale multi-center studies, they recommend using specialized blood collection tubes.
Special tubes.
Yeah, tubes designed specifically for cfDNA preservation. This is just to ensure absolute consistency and stability of the samples across different hospitals or labs. These aren't really roadblocks, though. They're more like clear directions for refining what's already a very powerful tool.
So this is really pointing us toward a much more informed, much less invasive, and ultimately, hopefully, a more effective future for transplant care globally. The shift from relying on symptoms or invasive tests to this kind of molecular-level prediction feels truly transformative.
I think the core insight here, the real take-home message, is that cell-free DNA methylation patterns can non-invasively detect not only allograft injury after liver transplant, but can also pinpoint the specific cellular sources of that damage with really unprecedented detail.
Mm-hmm.
This offers a precise early warning system, and it could potentially transform post-transplant monitoring, enabling significantly more targeted, proactive patient care.
So what does this mean for the broader future of personalized medicine, not just in transplant patients, but how might similar molecular detective approaches, you know, using cfDNA methylation, be applied to monitor other complex diseases, things like cancer recurrence maybe, or even neurodegenerative conditions, all from a simple blood test? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description.
If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show.
Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.